This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, half of Wisconsin's 16 to 19-year-olds participate in the workforce. Next week, the Wisconsin Promise Initiative is hosting a community conversation in La Crosse on how businesses and community members can come together to provide new employment opportunities for youth in our region. Joining us today to talk about the benefits and barriers to youth employment are Ellie Hartman, Project Director for the Wisconsin Promise Initiative, Mike Desmond, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse, and Christy Hemmersback, Assistant Store Director for Festival Foods, which hires many youth in La Crosse. And so if, Ellie, you could start us off by telling us a little bit about the Wisconsin Promise Initiative.
Yeah, Wisconsin Promise is a federal grant
through the Department of Education. It's actually an interagency collaboration between the Department of Education, Department of Labor, Health and Human Services, and the Social Security Administration. And really the aim is to increase employment and education goals for youth who are 14, 15, and 16 and receiving Supplemental Security Income, or SSI. So we're working with both the youth and the families all across Wisconsin. We're enrolling 2,000 youth across Wisconsin, including the La Crosse area, and working with both the youth and the family.
And, you know, you each kind of represent a different side of working with youth and helping them gain employment. You know, how do you feel like the environment is in La Crosse and in this region of the state for youth employment?
You know, from a standpoint from a retailer, and we're open 24 hours a day, we like to get as many as we can in. It helps set the foundation for really anyone to get to that next level where they want to be in a job.
And, you know, Mike, you guys, the Boys and Girls Club just recently opened a career center to help youth start thinking about careers and working towards that. You know, do you see that as, you know, a response to a need in the community, or is that, you know, just a new opportunity?
Well, we see it as a need, and what we're hearing is that we have to start kids younger and younger with prepare them with some just basic job skills, particularly the soft skills. Something as simple as shaking someone's hand and looking them in the eye and saying hello and introducing yourself. And so we're starting just little things like that at the Boys and Girls Club with kids who are as young as middle school age kids. And then our program goals escalates there on up, but again, starting very small and teaching them some of the basic skills that maybe some of us take for granted, but kids don't really know, and maybe they're not getting it at home.
Mm-hmm. And you know, like I said, you guys just opened this new career center. Do you want to just tell me a little bit about the center and what you guys are offering?
Well, it's part of a program we call Career Launch, and it's one of the programs that we have, I think, been a little deficient in. But again, we've heard this outcry from the community that in terms of better preparing young people for the workforce, and the earlier we start that, the better. And we do a lot of work with the schools, so we're hearing the same thing from the schools. So we started this program called Career Launch, and it as I mentioned, it deals with a lot of things like soft skills, but we start off really with talking about the importance of education. Many of the kids that come to the Boys and Girls Club are at-risk kids. They're kids that live in poverty. If they go beyond high school, they may be the first generation in their family to seek an education beyond high school. And so that's always component number one, is the importance of them currently in terms of how well they're doing in school, and we help them with that academic progress, to make sure that they graduate and so on and so forth. And then we obviously can begin to teach them or at least expose them to some career options out there. And whether that be a four-year university or a two-year tech school, it really doesn't matter to us. We try to expose them to those kind of careers. And then teach them things like just resume writing and filling out a job application correctly and having them practice interviewing. and things like that. And these are kids that we're hearing, you know, again, we're starting this at the kids that are just entering middle school, to give them those kinds of skills that early. And then their graduation from the program is they actually interview with an HR person from one of the employment agencies in town.
Mm-hmm. And Christy, as an employer of youth in La Crosse, I'm sure you've experienced somewhat of the application process in bringing in new employees. Do you feel like some of the youth struggle with these soft skills that Mike's been talking about?
You know, we see a lot come in and they don't make that initial eye contact. They're, you know, handshake and things like that. So it was interesting that he brought that up. But it's also fun to see where people are in their first 90 days and that, you know, getting them through that comfortable conversation of greeting somebody, saying hello to them, thanking them as they leave, and understanding the importance of that eye contact and everything. So it's always fun to watch youth grow, or anyone for that matter, grow with when they're here and they see other people interact and, you know, just get to that next level.
Mm-hmm. And Ellie, Mike brought up a really interesting point of focusing on education and then focusing on working and career second to that. You know, how much of looking at if employment is taking away from education, you know, how much of that research or discussion, I guess, is going on?
Yeah, well, what we really find is doing both at the same time is really beneficial for the youth. Sometimes if you, the soft skills training is really important. In fact, we utilize a curriculum called Skills to Pay the Bills in Wisconsin Promise with all our youth. Ensuring to connect to schools and education is very important. A big part of what Wisconsin Promise does is partner with the schools. And the lead agency division of vocational rehabilitation does the same thing with the youth, that collaboration. But what we are finding with our youth is ensuring that they have that employment experience early on. So the classes help and things like that, but then on the job training that Christy was talking about is also very important. Learning on the job is a very important skill, and we actually see that the best predictor of employment after high school is employment during high school. So it's important to get both aspects, and not to feel like you have to fix everything before you start a job, and really have that experience. Just like we all, when we had our first job, there were things that we could be better at, and we learned some of those things as we worked. Same thing with our youth and our youth with disabilities.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about youth employment, why it's beneficial for businesses to hire young workers, and what challenges local youth face when looking for work. We're here with Ellie Hartman, Project Manager of the Wisconsin Promise Initiative, Mike Desmond, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse, and Christy Hemmersbach, Assistant Store Director for Festival Foods and La Crosse. You know, looking at this on just a very basic level, I mean, what are the greatest benefits for youth when they're employed? You know, what are they really getting at out of working in high school?
Yeah, that's a really good question. What youth really find and what the Division of Oak Rehab and Wisconsin Promise, as we partner with the employers, what we're really demonstrating is the value added that the youth have to the business. And so what we're really looking at, what are the strengths of the youth and how do they match to the business? And really, they are a very highly valued employees to businesses. And so they're showing the employment shows the contribution to the community, increased self-sufficiency, increase for youth and promise. They are on supplemental security income, which means they have to meet an income threshold, which is pretty low. So many families are in poverty, and so that increased income with the family really increases the possibilities for the youth and for the family. And so there's a lot of benefits that they're finding with working. I don't know if, Mike, you have anything to
add? Oh, absolutely. I mean, just the income level, you know, again, with a lot of high percentage of our kids that are living in poverty, they need to find a way to support themselves in many cases, especially if they're going to want a new pair of shoes or just simple things that other kids might just take for granted because their parents buy them those things. These kids have to buy that themselves. So to have some skill to be able to go out and get a job. But the number one thing, there is absolutely no doubt what we have noticed with our career launch program is confidence. Once they learn these skills, practice these skills, they have a coach from an employment agency working with them. Every one of them that I talked to after they did their exit interview, that's what they talked about, is how much more confidence they had than before they started the program. And it's an 8-week program, so if you take a kid who doesn't have maybe a lot of skills and no confidence, and at the end of it, Employment Express said they would have hired 3 of them right on the spot. They did such a good job at their interview. I know 3 or 4 of them have gone out and gotten jobs since they completed the program. And again, skills are one thing, but that confidence just carries over to so many other things. And that's been the real benefit that we've seen from the program.
And you know, on the flip side of that, and I don't know if Chrissy, you want to jump in, what are the biggest benefits for the employers who are hiring this group of workers?
I think it, you know, it gives us the flexibility of having multiple personalities, and then those guys helping each other. At Festival, we have Boomerang Basics, their daily basics that we talk about all the time, and you know, we're a family there, and I think if they have people that they can count on outside of school and home that they can talk to, I think is another benefit, that they learn that community involvement and that it isn't one person against another one, it's people together to complete a task in that aspect.
Are there any downsides for employers to hire youth? I mean, the one I think of right away is kids who are in high school and then leave to go to college somewhere else.
From us and our standpoint, we have stores all over the state of Wisconsin, so we work with those students. We also have a Dollars for Students program, so somebody who may not think that college is in their grasps because of financial issues. We have a Dollars for Students program where they put away some of their paycheck into an account, and then we also match those funds yearly to help pay for the books and tuition and things like that. But then they also, depending on where they go to college, they can transfer to one of our other stores. They don't have to leave that employment, find another one, and then work with holidays and spring breaks and things like that. So, you know, we're very lucky in that aspect that we can transfer people around the state.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Ellie, if other businesses, you know, when you're working with them to hire, you know, and to involve these youth in their business, you know, do you hear any pushback from them about, oh, this might not be right for us? What we really hear from the businesses is the value added, and they see with the youth, with youth with disabilities, what they see is because we're really looking at that good match, looking at the youth skills, what their goals, their interests, and what the business needs. What we really see is that the employers are really happy with the young workers, and see the added supports that they have on the business is also very helpful. And so sometimes they see, you know, not always, but sometimes they see when they work with DVR and the employment service providers that the youth, the employees are actually more stable and are continue to come to work on a regular basis, have the support needed to keep the job, to grow in the job, and so that has been an added benefit. There's also some other benefits through DVR and through the government. So through DVR, there's the youth on-the-job training, so we can help pay for some of the training when the youth first starts. There's trial work experiences, so can help try some jobs out and help with wages in that way. And usually when we do that, you see when a good job fit happens, the employer sees it's well worth them that continuing to employ the youth after those things. There's also tax incentives available to employers who hire people with disabilities, so they can also take advantage of those things as well.
Mm-hmm. And do these businesses tend to be, I don't know if Mike, you know, in the La Crosse area, but, or just in general, do the businesses tend to be larger businesses like Festival that's, you know, all over Wisconsin, or, you know, are there opportunities for local businesses to also think about hiring youth?
Yeah. In fact, we find a lot of our smaller employers really, have found that youth are, I'm just thinking of a youth in Holman who worked for American Family Insurance Company, a local place there. There's actually a little YouTube video. He helped with he still does. He's still employed there. He helps with odd jobs around, help stock the coolers, help with some business tasks, things like that. And he's a value added to that business. So we see a whole range of employers. There's Project Search across Wisconsin, and that usually works more with the larger employers, so hospitals, the Walmart distribution center, things like that. So, it's really about what's that good job match, what's that good fit, what works for the youth, what works for the business, and finding what's the business need and what the value added the youth brings to the job. Mm-hmm.
That's Ellie Hartman, Project Manager for the Wisconsin Promise Initiative, here with us today to talk about how businesses and community members can create new opportunities for youth employment. Also joining us in studio is Mike Desmond, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse, and Christy Hemmersback, Assistant Store Director for Festival Foods. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. So, Mike, you know, earlier you were talking about how the Boys and Girls Club is trying to provide some of those soft skills to kids that they might not be getting. And I don't know, do you know how, do schools now provide a lot of the vocational training that they used to provide to kids? You know, things like working in woodworking or, you know, small engines. I mean, are those classes still available to the average high school student?
I think they are, in the sense that I know La Crosse School District has a lot of, I guess you'd call them charter schools, that give kids an opportunity to explore different things that might not be part of a normal, let's say, college prep type of curriculum. And I think that's pretty valuable, and I think La Crosse School District is pretty highly recognized for their charter schools and so forth. But I was thinking about making kids, giving kids experience, what Ellie said. We have a program called Junior Staff, and when kids get to a certain level, not necessarily age-wise, but just they've demonstrated a certain amount of responsibility and so forth, we have a program called Junior Staff, and they actually wear a Boys and Girls Club staff T-shirt. They get a name tag, and we hire them, and they do odd jobs. I think of a little boy named Cole who's had some pretty significant issues. He is now, I've just titled him as our maintenance engineer. He is responsible for keeping our Mathy Club clean and neat for visitors. And I'll tell you, you talk about a kid that takes his job seriously and develops pride in the cleanliness of one of our clubs, it's this little boy, and I just think that's kind of neat. And then we hire kids to do things like score basketball games and run concessions for us and do things like that. And it's all part of our junior staff program. My next dream is that we'll actually have a Boys and Girls Club store where we'll sell items out of there, and this junior staff with a couple of other programs will actually run the store and be accountable for the money in the store and trying to make a profit in the store and all sorts of things like that. And again, we're dealing with kids that are, these are kids, I'm talking about kids 10, 11, 12 years old. Then we take great pride in hiring our own too. We hire seniors in high school that have been club members their whole life. I think of our youth of the year from Logan High School is now one of our staff at the Erickson Club. She understands our values. She understands what the club is all about, what our values are all about, and she's lived it. She's come from a pretty tough background and has made it. And what a great role model for other kids that may be struggling with one issue or another issue. Here's a girl that has lived her life at the Boys and Girls Club, and she's going off to college, and she's done it. And we'd love bringing those kind of kids back, even while they're still in high school, and be a staff because they become a great role model for the younger kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking that as you were talking about, you know, even the kids who are still a part of the club, you know, giving them more responsibility. I'm sure that has a positive effect on other kids wanting to achieve that same status as well.
Yeah. And you know what, the sad commentary, and this is what we have to change, is, and I can think of a young lady, 14 years old, she's lived in poverty, and when I talk to her about careers, school, all this, her answer was, I can't. And I said, why not? And she said, because I'm poor. And that's the cycle we got to break, is that somebody who has just been born into, in a sense, a disadvantaged circumstance does not mean that they can't have a career and they can't go to school beyond high school. That's the cycle that we have to break.
Mm-hmm. And Ellie, I'm sure that you have seen a lot of that as well.
Yeah, so in Wisconsin Promise, we are working with a lot of, as I mentioned, a lot of youth. We now have 1,500 youth and their families. We're working with both the youth and the family members because part of that is looking at the whole family, not only increasing the employment of the youth, but the whole family. But we have 1,500 enrolled right now, and we're actually going to enroll 500 more in Wisconsin Promise by April 30th, 2016. So there's limited spots left, and want to fill those before the end of April, and especially in the La Crosse area. I know we're working with a couple youth in the La Crosse area, but we know there's more eligible, and we want to continue to enroll them as well as youth statewide. But yeah, we're seeing similar things with the youth struggling with a variety of things: poverty, disability. And really changing the expectations, the possibilities, and really having that conversation, and really finding that connecting youth and families not only to jobs but to the local community, places like the Boys and Girls Club. Some of our youth haven't even connected to something like the Boys and Girls Club. Or other people that they can really talk about, how is this possible? So seeing someone like a senior employed at the Boys and Girls Club who's gone through it, that has such an impact because you see a different outcome than maybe they had been thinking. I'm 14. I live in poverty. What is the possibility? And then when they see the senior working there, going to college, that makes a huge impact. And so really what we're seeing as we enroll more and more youth is as you increase the number of youth and families that you are touching, starting to have those conversations with more and more families, and hopefully that'll help change the conversation and the expectations.
Mm-hmm. And from looking at this issue on maybe a state level, you know, how does or are there differences between like a smaller community, like you mentioned Holman, versus a youth living in a large city like Madison? You know, what are the differences and the challenges between the two?
Yeah, it's really interesting seeing the differences, because we have people enrolled all over the state. So small communities, large cities, 40% are actually in the Milwaukee area. So all over the state. And the interesting thing is the difference between the urban and rural settings. The rural settings, you have the smaller communities where sometimes it's easier to connect to the communities, but then the question comes up, well, what about the jobs? And that's when really the small businesses and having those conversations. I know our business service consultants have good connections with the businesses, and you find that those community connections help find those jobs. In the larger cities, it's really helping to connect not only to existing supports, but the different community supports, but also with each other. And having that support helps bridge that gap to find those jobs or to connect to other resources, either through school or other ways.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mike, you mentioned that this is kind of a problem that keeps repeating itself. I mean, has this been an issue that's been on everyone's radar, or, you know, is this really something that we've seen escalate in the past few years?
Well, in La Crosse, there's no question that demographics have changed over the last 20 years. We're a much more diverse community than we've ever been before. And the poverty rate in La Crosse, the city of La Crosse, is as high as it's ever been. One particular neighborhood, according to the most recent census, is the second most impoverished neighborhood in the entire state of Wisconsin. And for La Crosse people who have lived here their whole lives, they think there's no way that we would have a neighborhood in La Crosse that's happening. But the reality is it is. And so I know there's a lot of groups that are working together, working with the city, working with the county to try to make a difference in particularly targeting some of those poor neighborhoods. And again, a lot of it is, I compare it to like a horse with blinders on. Many of these kids, if they've grown up in poverty, they're like a horse with blinders on. They don't see all the possibilities. And it's our job, we feel it's our job at the Boys and Girls Club, is to get the blinders off and show them there's a lot of possibilities out there. They're smart kids, they're talented kids. They just got to see that they can do that and there's opportunities for them out there.
That's Mike Desmond, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse. He's here with us today with Christy Hemmersbach, Assistant Store Director for Festival Foods, and Ellie Hartman, Project Manager for the Wisconsin Promise Initiative, to talk about how employment can benefit youth in our region and why businesses should invest in this younger population of employees. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on youth employment in the Coulee region. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today, we're talking with Ellie Hartman, Project Manager for the Wisconsin Promise Initiative, Mike Desmond, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse, and Christy Hemmersbach, Assistant Store Director for Festival Foods in La Crosse. The La Crosse Promise Initiative is hosting a community conversation next week for businesses and community members to learn more about how hiring young workers can be beneficial for employers and local youth. And Christy, did you have example of a young person that you guys have hired at Festival who's really shown some progress since they were first hired?
We actually have a few at our Copeland location. We have a gentleman by the name of Dennis. He will celebrate 15 years with us in September. And from, you know, when he first came through the door to where he is today, he can be given a list of tasks that he has to complete, and he takes pride in, you know, what he's doing. We have another associate that, you know, 10 years ago his dad said, go to Festival, they'll give you a chance. And just, you know, where he's come as well with his skills and involvement and approaching people and talking with them, things like that. And then also we have another person, Billy, who 3 years ago came to us. He wasn't sure if he wanted to really go to college or, you know, what direction he wanted to take. And the pride that he's taken in the jobs that he does with us as well. And just even that communication and not communicating to people the needs that he has or things that he needs from us to get over the barrier to do his job.
Mm-hmm. And so what sort of training is involved when you hire a young person? Is there, you know, specific differences that you guys have to keep in mind?
There's not. We have the same training program for anybody that walks through our door. You know, whether it's a bagger or helping out in the bakery, everybody goes through the same processes as the next person. So everybody gets the same level of training.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that. Is there, specific, obviously there's the actual work, but, you know, are there other, we've talked about softer skills of learning how to engage with people that you guys focus on?
Ours is more all hands-on, really giving them feedback as it's happening. We talk about honest communication, you know, getting them what they need when it's happening instead of waiting and going back and trying to fix the problem. Everybody has somebody right with them for the first few shifts that they're there. That way we're helping correct problems as they're happening and not, again, waiting for someone to come back a few days later with, you know, smashed bread and having a concern at that point. So.
Mm-hmm. And Ellie, would you ever encourage a youth to take maybe an unpaid position as well as, you know, paid work, maybe like an unpaid internship or something, job shadowing, maybe that sort of thing?
Yeah, we're actually doing a lot more job shadowing in Wisconsin Promise just to see what our youth's interests. But it's all about working or moving towards that paid job. So sometimes, yeah, they do unpaid internships or job shadows or things like that. But really, we have a lot of opportunities and ways to be paid through trial work experiences that the Division of Oak Rehab will help pay for, on-the-job training, things like that. So we really work to get into a paid job pretty quickly. So yeah, we'll do some of those things. And sometimes, you know, that's a great opportunity given the youth's interest. But then we also work towards finding that paid job. We don't stop there. We keep moving. In fact, in Wisconsin Promise and DVR, it's an individual plan for employment. And so it's all about reaching that employment goal. And so it's talking to the youth about what that goal is and working to meet it. And that might, that goal may go beyond high school. The youth were starting to work with them at 14, 15, and 16, but their goal may require a college education, and so working with them to help meet that goal. And then the other thing is really with our business services consultants across the state. Amy here, right here in the La Crosse area, is connecting with businesses is really key. Really knowing what the employer needs and what the youth strengths are. So you know what the goal is of the youth, and then helping the youth connect to the employer needs, and really having those. It's really good having these community conversations, across Wisconsin, so the community can really talk about what are those business needs, what are the needs, and then the youth end of it, how to connect youth with the employers.
Mm-hmm. And Mike, do you guys have any, talk about unpaid work and taking maybe an unpaid internship?
Not so much an internship with the younger kids, but volunteer hours, absolutely. That's a big part of our character and leadership development piece is that we believe there's an expectation amongst, all people that you reach out and you help other people in need. And we try to make that a value within the club. And I know as a person who hires college kids, 75% of our staff are college kids. I go right to what have they done besides go to college, and I look to see what kinds of volunteer things have they done, because I feel that we all have a responsibility to do stuff beyond our job, beyond our school, and so forth. And so we ask kids at the club to volunteer for different activities. Is something as simple as we serve a snack or a meal every day. And we ask kids to participate in serving that meal. And I just think that that's good for them to understand that volunteerism is crucial.
Mm-hmm. And what are they getting out of volunteerism? I mean, besides the benefits to the community from having them invested, what is the individual getting?
Well, what we're seeing is they feel this sense of worthwhileness that they are somehow making a difference, even if it's something as simple as serving dinner to little kids. They feel pretty important about that and their role in doing that. And I just don't, I don't think we can undervalue what that might mean. I think of a good example of where we do a thing called graffiti busters. Once a year we go out and we take these kids and they work with La Crosse Police Department and they pick a spot in town and they paint the graffiti over, to make it look nice, like under a bridge or something like that. And these kids come back and they feel like they've saved the city of La Crosse of all graffiti or something, And I look at some of the kids that did it and I figure they're probably the ones that actually did the graffiti to begin with, and now they're cleaning up their own mess. But, it's that sense of that I feel good about myself because I'm doing something for somebody else. I don't think that we can underestimate the value of that.
And so, are the opportunities for employment diverse? Like, are we seeing, only retail stores or only food service stores? I mean, are we seeing a broad range of opportunities in La Crosse?
Yeah, definitely a wide range. Right now, businesses are really looking to hire folks, and so they're finding that youth and youth with disabilities are a good. They have some really good benefits for the business. Less sick time, show up every day, higher retention rates, things like that, and really a great return on investment. And so it just makes it good business sense to help meet their needs, because there are a lot of businesses looking in the area right now.
Mm-hmm. And you bring up youth with disabilities, which isn't that's another part of this conversation that you know, they're another population. They sometimes have different needs than the other youth who are just looking for maybe part-time experience. You know, tell me a little bit about the challenges, maybe the benefits of hiring youth with disabilities.
Yeah, so Wisconsin Promise, the youth, to be on supplemental security income, you need both a Social Security determination and then meet that income threshold. So both things. So all the youth in Wisconsin Promise or all the youth receiving services through the Division of Oak Rehab have disabilities. And really, those youth are the ones that we're seeing really have those benefits of really sticking to that job, being committed, proud of the work. As Christy was talking about, I think all your examples were people with disabilities, and really, really that value added. And then DVR and Promise can bring to the table those added resources. So the training on the job is typically the same for employers, but we can bring service providers, job coaches, we can bring money to help with that training, pay for the wages at the beginning through a trial work experience or on the job training, things like that, to help with the training or the supports needed on the job. And that's an added benefit that helps the youth learn that job, stay committed to that job, and really a benefit added for the employers.
You know, are there a lot of opportunities for youth with disabilities to, you know, go to maybe a technical school or to go to a four-year college and get a degree and, you know, and pursue other careers like that? And do you help the youth with that as well?
Yeah. So with Wisconsin Promise, it's not only about those employment goals, but also those education goals. So really talking with them, what do you want to do not only now, but in the future? So where do you want to go and what are the possibilities? So we talk about, okay, if that's your job goal, you know, what kind of education will help you get there? So we talk about technical colleges. We talk about different trainings. We talk about four-year colleges and the options for four-year colleges for youth with disabilities is greatly expanding, even for youth with intellectual or developmental disabilities. So if things like Think College are opportunities for youth, but really we look at the full range of education and training that will help them meet those job goals, or really career goals, I should say.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about youth employment, why it's beneficial for businesses to hire young workers, and what challenges local youth face when looking for work. We're here with Ellie Hartman, Project Manager for the Wisconsin Promise Initiative, Mike Desmond, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse, and Christy Hemmersbeck, Assistant Store Director of Festival Foods in La Crosse. And Christy, if there was something that you wish youth could bring to the table, like a skill or even just, an attitude or a thought process, you know, what do you think is missing that could bring, that could make more youth hireable employees?
I think it's, you know, the confidence and also not looking at a job as it's just a job or, oh, it's just a grocery store. Or, oh, it's just, it's just flipping burgers somewhere. Having that sense of fulfillment at the end of the day and the reward of, you know, that interaction. One of the things we talk about a lot too with associates is the interaction with the people that come through our doors, and that it might be the only interaction that they had with somebody today, and being that positive smiley face for them. So I think just more that it's not just a job, it's what they do while they're at the job.
And Mike, I ask a similar question of you. You know, what do you hope to or what do you wish that could change in our community or in our region that could really make youth more hireable?
Well, I, from, again, the population we serve, it's, to me, it's all about opportunities, that there are enough opportunities out there in a variety of things so that a kid can find his or her passion, whatever that might be. And we do it on a very small scale within the Boys and Girls Club. We try to offer such a variety of programs that every kid will find something that's fun and that they can become passionate about. I think of a kid, we started a guitar program and through Dave's Guitar, and it's going just wonderfully. You know, some are better than others. But one kid who isn't quite as good as his sister at playing guitar, he's found his niche with the guitar as far as repairing them and tuning them. All of a sudden, this kid's a hands-on kid. And so he's working one day a week free with a guy in town that's what he does for a business. He repairs guitars, he tunes guitars, and so forth. And so what Chris will do, our member, is he'll keep all of our guitars. Once he learns the trade from this expert, he'll come back to the club and he'll be responsible for keeping our guitars in good shape and tuning them and so forth. And it's so, but it was through him trying to play guitar that he found out what I really like to do is I like to fix them. And so again, it was just having an opportunity for a kid to explore something that he may have never ever thought of in his entire life. And now he's doing this. And I just think that's what we have to do is create enough of those opportunities so every kid finds something that they can be passionate about.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like creativity is also needed in that.
No question about that. Yeah, and you just don't know what's going to trip a kid in terms of interest level. That's why I think we have to expose them to as many things as possible, and something will catch on. And once they find what that is, watch them go. I mean, Chris never even had picked up a guitar 8 weeks ago, and now he's working in a guitar shop helping repair guitars and tune guitars. So it was just finding the right thing for one kid.
And Ellie, we've mentioned the community conversation that you guys are going to be hosting in La Crosse next week. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that event?
We're hosting community conversations all of over the state, and really what they're about is bringing the community together and really talking about how to increase employment for youth and young adults that face barriers because of a disability, lack of job experience, or other challenges. And it's really what we find when we have these conversations is it becomes really a conversation with the community about what can each and everyone do. So I'll just give an example. I think it was actually one that happened in La Crosse a couple of years ago through the school district put it on. The Holman School District, I believe, put it on. And they talked with businesses, and businesses came and other community members came as well. And one business that came was a child care center who they've been trying to find job experiences for the youth in the school with disabilities, and they kept running into, and I don't even remember what it was, but some kind of paperwork or something, they couldn't get past that. And so the child care center came to the conversation and really talking about, okay, what are the options, what are the opportunities? And then they started to think outside of their general way of doing things. Like, well, if we just remove this requirement or changed it slightly, we could definitely hire youth with disabilities here. And in fact, we had at least one or two youth who were then hired at the child care center and very highly valued employees. They brought value to that place of business. And so it's really about opening the conversation with employers and other people in the community, because as we know, the best way to get jobs is network. Right? Network with different people. You know, I know when I was in high school, the way I got my first job was because, you know, my dad's a small businessman and he talked to another one, and lo and behold, all of a sudden I had a job. So that kind of conversation, when that happens, all of a sudden jobs that you don't, you know, didn't even know existed, or needs for employers that they didn't know existed, or people coming to the table seeing, you know, all the youth and what they bring to the table and what great things they bring to the table. It really helps open up those possibilities for the community.
We've been talking with Ellie Hartman, Project Manager for the Wisconsin Promise Initiative, about youth employment in the Coulee region. Also here today was Mike Desmond, Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater La Crosse, and Christy Hammersbeck, Assistant Store Director for Festival Foods in La Crosse. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.